Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Church by the Glades. It's the first weekend of 2021. Somebody shout, we made it. We made it. We made it. There were some points last year when it seemed like we weren't going to get here, but I thank God because we made it. Is anybody encouraged? Is anybody happy? Is anybody joyful because you made it? Oh, if you're happy that you made it, give God some praise in this place. Yeah. Whew. I'm so glad that you made it to church today. Congratulations, you officially have perfect church attendance for the year 2021. Let's keep it up. Let's be saying the same thing at the end of the year. I believe in you, we can do this. My name is Charlie Hughes, and I have the honor and the privilege of leading the young adult movement here at Church by the Glades called Rally. Can all my young adults in the room make some noise? I got some of my Rally friends representing up front. And really, I just gotta take a second and make a quick announcement. Rally is coming back January 22nd in person here at Church by the Glades, but that's not all. My friends up front don't even know this. Christine Kane is going to be preaching a rally on the 22nd. So if you're a young adult between the ages of 18 and 30 and you are under the sound of my voice, you got to be at Rally on January 22nd. It's a perfect night to start your year off right. I believe that to my core. I'm also the son of Pastors David and Lisa Hughes. So real quick, I just got to tell my mom and dad that I love them. I'm thankful for the pastors and the parents that they are. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity. And before I even get into the sermon that I have prepared for tonight, I just gotta state the obvious. 2020 was difficult. 2020 was disappointing. Oh my gosh, 2020, it was discouraging. And the funny thing is, at this point last year, I was excited for 2020. I was expectant for 2020. I thought 2020 was going to be a great year. I mean, we had just launched Rally in September of 2019, so I thought 2020 was going to be a great year for Rally to grow, expand its influence, and reach the young adults in South Florida. Now, we still did that. Don't get me wrong. We just had to do it in a way that I didn't expect. I had some plans and invitations to preach at different churches across America. I even had one pastor reach out to me to preach at a church in Canada. I'd never been to Canada. I was excited about that. I had plans to visit new places, meet new people, try new things. But 2020 had other plans. 2020 had something else to say. 2020 messed up just about all of my plans. It's my guess, it's my assumption that 2020 messed up some of your plans as well. But who is with me in believing that 2021 is going to be a different story? That this year is going to be a new chapter? That this is going to be a year of second chances, a year of breakthrough, and a year of new beginnings? Oh, if you believe it, if you're hoping for it, if you're praying for it, make some noise in this place. I love it. That's my hope and that's my prayer as well. And if you just made some noise, if you just let me know in the chat, I just got one question for you. Why? Why? Why do you believe that this year is going to be better than last year? Why do you think that 2021 is going to be so difference-making? Why do you believe that this year is going to be so game-changing? Because really, in the grand scheme of things, as a nation, as a country, as a world, as a human race, we're still facing many of the same challenges that we were just a few days ago. It's my guess that as an individual, you're still facing many of the same problems, frustrations, and issues that you were facing a week ago. The only significant change that I can see is the calendar year. Don't get mad at me. It's too early in the sermon for that. But could it be possible that 2020 gets blamed for more than it deserves? Could it be possible that 2020 gets a bad rap? I mean, is it really 2020's fault that you allowed your unmet expectations to kill your excitement? Is it really 2020's fault that you developed some unproductive and unhealthy habits over quarantine? Is it really 2020's fault that you allow certain obstacles to get in between you and making the most out of certain opportunities? Is it 2020's fault that you allowed your canceled plans to control your attitude? Is it really 2020's fault that you allowed your ruined plans to ruin your perspective for an entire year? You see, I think that this year will only be different from last year if we change the way we walk. Because I believe that many of us allow the different challenges, difficulties, issues, and frustrations that we face in 2020 to cause us, to lead us to walk with worry. To walk with worry is not hoping for the best, but it is expecting the worst. To walk with worry is to walk closed off to the possibility of anything wonderful or great taking place in your life. To walk with worry is to walk searching for cover before life throws you another curveball. To walk with worry is to walk guarded, to walk in pain, to walk with hurts, to walk with brokenness, to walk with suffering. To walk with worry is to walk wounded. And I don't believe that it is God's desire for any human being to walk through life wounded. I do not believe that it is God's desire for any human being to walk through life with worry. I believe that is the heart, the will, the desire of God for every single person on planet Earth to walk with wisdom. That's the title of this sermon. The title of this sermon is Walk with Wisdom. Look to the person you're sitting next to, whether you know him or not, whether you like him or not, and tell him, in 2021, if you want things to change, you must walk with wisdom. You gotta walk with wisdom. You have no other choice. You have no other option. If you want this year to be different from last year, you gotta walk with wisdom. And what this looks like, how we do this, I think is laid out for us beautifully in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. So you can go ahead and take out your phones, take out your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, if you don't have the Bible app, we got you covered. The scripture will be on the back screen. But Proverbs, just to give you some background, is considered wisdom literature. Don't get me wrong, you can find wisdom in every single verse in your Bible, but the book of Proverbs, man, it's just on another level. So I think the book of Proverbs is a great place for us to start 2021 in. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, submit to God, and he will make your paths straight." Amen. That first verse, "My son, do not forget my teaching." Excuse me. It's easy to forget when you're frustrated. It's easy to forget that God is with you when you feel alone. It's easy to forget that God has made peace that surpasses all understanding available to you when your current situation is anything but peaceful. Can I just be real for a moment? Can I just get vulnerable for a second? Don't think differently. I'm telling you guys this right now. Sometimes I can become so fixated on what frustrates me. My frustration can seem to steal and consume and destroy my attention. My frustration can begin to influence my decision making. In other words, my frustration becomes my distraction. I'll give you a quick example. I've told you all before from this stage, from this platform, that I'm currently a college student. I attend Palm Beach Atlantic University. I'm getting my degree in ministry because this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. I feel called to preach God's word and pastor God's people. And next year, I'm starting my master's work in what is basically a master's in Bible. And I've taken some challenging classes so far in my college career. I've taken some difficult Old and New Testament classes. I've taken some really hard theology courses. I just took a very extensive history of Christianity class. But by far, the hardest course I've had to take so far in my college career is Greek. Not the Greek that is spoken today in Greece. No, that'd be too simple. That'd be too applicable. That would be too useful. I'm talking about the Greek language that was spoken during the writing of the New Testament. Koine Greek. And all you need to know about Koine Greek for this illustration, for this example to make sense, is that Koine Greek is a very intricate, complex, detailed, and nuanced language. And to say the least, Koine Greek did not come naturally to your boy. I was not A1 from day one. I was not some prodigy. I was not some Greek scholar right off the bat. I spent hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours upon hours. You get where I'm going with this. Upon hours doing practice exercises, watching video lessons, attending tutoring sessions. And even though I studied so very hard, I still struggled. Throughout the semester, I grew more and more anxious, more stressed, and frustrated because I never failed a college course up to this point. I never failed a class in high school up to this point, and I didn't want to start with Koine Greek, so I just threw myself further into my study, and it got to the point where I became so frustrated and so fearful that I could not study this beautiful biblical language and be able to separate myself enough from my stress to realize how amazing of an opportunity I truly had. I was so anxious that I could not acknowledge how amazing what I was doing truly was. I was studying the original language of the book that I planned the rest of my life studying and preaching out of. But because I was so concerned with my grade, because I was so worried about my performance, because I was so concerned with whether or not I was going to feel any happiness, any pleasure, any joy that I could have found through studying Greek was stolen from me. Because fixating on frustration causes you to lose sight of the bigger picture. Because I was so focused on what was stressful, I lost sight of what was significant. Do not allow what seems to be a burden in your life to take away your awareness from what could actually be a blessing in your life. This is why it's so important that you check your intake. Somebody say, check your intake. Check your intake. Check your intake. Let's think about what you think about. When life is stressful, overwhelming, and frustrating, what do you do? Where do you go? Who do you talk to? What do you focus on? If you're discouraged because you consider yourself a lonely person, you don't have many close friends, yet you feel alone oftentimes, but yet all you continue to do is wallow in your own sadness, count the reasons why people must not like you, pick apart your insecurities, and isolate yourself from others. I'm sorry, but the perfect community, the perfect group of people for you is not going to magically appear right in front of you or fall into your lap. Check your intake. You're discouraged because you're disconnected. And I'm sorry, but the solution to your problem and the cure to your insecurities will not come through you continuing to wallow in your own sadness and grief. But it might come through you deciding that enough is enough. Deciding that I'm gonna push myself. Deciding that I'm gonna get out of my comfort zone. Deciding that, you know what, I'm gonna introduce myself to others. Deciding that I'm gonna get involved at Church by the Glades. I'm gonna join a life group. I'm a young adult. I'm gonna attend rally on January 22nd. I'm not gonna wait for the perfect community to find me. I'm gonna go find myself some community. Maybe you're here and you're disappointed because of how unproductive you were in 2020. You went into last year with some goals, but none of them were realized. Because when the pandemic hit, the world shut down, you had to start working from home. You lost all motivation that you once had. And like I said earlier, maybe you developed some unhealthy and unproductive habits that only encourage and perpetuate cycles of laziness in your life. So now the goals that you had for last year seem even more impossible for you to reach and accomplish this year. You need to check your intake. You're disappointed because you lack discipline. So decide in your heart that this year will not be the same as last year. Decide that you're gonna choose what you want most over what you want now. Decide that you're gonna start forming some new habits. Decide that you're gonna start implementing some new disciplines. Decide that time management will become a priority for you. You're gonna start waking up early. You're gonna start exercising. You're gonna start eating healthy. You're gonna start reading your Bible. You're gonna make attending church a priority this year. You're gonna decide that nothing will get in between you and reaching your goals. It does not matter what difficulties may come your way, because you will have the disciplines in place to keep you on pace to reach your goals. And finally, maybe you're here and you feel depressed because of the different challenges you faced in 2020. Because of what you went through, what you lost, or maybe even who you lost, you feel like your best days are behind you. You feel like the good old days are long gone. You have no hope. You have no peace. You have no excitement for what the future may hold. Check your intake. You are depressed because you're desensitized to the reality of your situation. 2020 might have knocked you down, but 2020 didn't knock you out. You're still here, so you must be here for a reason. There are brighter days ahead, but you cannot find them where you are. It's time for you to get up, because there are brighter days ahead, but you gotta go looking for them. You gotta go searching for them. You gotta go working for them. Just because you've had problems in your past does not mean you cannot find peace in your present and purpose in your future. When life is stressful, when life is frustrating, when life is difficult, it is so important. It's crucial that you go to the right places, talk to the right people, and focus on the right things. I'm talking to everyone now. Do not allow what is frustrating you to distract you from the one who is still for you, from the one who is still with you, from the one who has not forgotten about you. It is essential that you are intentional about what you intake, because what you intake will form what you focus, and your focus is what you follow. Your emotions, your thoughts, your actions, they all follow your focus. And if you're not intentional about what you intake, your focus will be manipulated by your frustration. And when you follow the focus of your frustration, I promise you, you will walk with worry. Stress will direct your steps, and pain will pave your path. This is why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." This verse, it reminds me of the first time I ever preached a sermon. I was 16 years old, and Dr. John Cross, who has preached here at Church by the Glades multiple times and is a dear friend of my family, he invited me to speak to the youth group of his church in Northport, Florida. I was so excited. I felt so honored to be asked. And for whatever reason, I can't tell you why, because I honestly don't know why, I was really confident. I was confident that I could get on stage and handle business. I was confident that they put a mic in my hand, I could do what I needed to do. I could preach a good sermon. Now, like I just told you, I had never preached before, but I just had this confidence. I wasn't stressed out. I wasn't anxious. I wasn't worried. I was ready to go up there and preach. And how many know sometimes there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance? And I'm not saying I was all the way on the arrogant side of that line, but I was definitely tiptoeing on the line, dancing a little bit. Like, I'm gonna be real with you. And I think my dad kind of sniffed out this confidence. So my dad recommended, he said, "Hey, Charlie, since it is your first time preaching, why don't you preach one of my sermons? Like, why don't you use one of my old outlines?" And thank God I had enough self-awareness as a 16-year-old to be like, you know what? That's probably a good idea. So that's what I did. I used one of his sermons. I studied one of his outlines in the days leading up to preaching for the very first time. I read over the outline. I read over my notes. I watched the sermon on YouTube a few times, and I felt prepared. But looking back, I was not nearly as prepared, focused, or as planned as I should have been. And when it came time to get on that stage and preach to those students at South Biscayne Church, I decided in the moment, this was not planned, this is not rehearsed, to tell a joke. And the joke was something along the lines of, "Hey, my name is Charlie. I'm so excited to be here with you all, and I cannot wait to spend the next 3 hours with you." You know, preacher humor. Not really funny, but I got a few sympathy laughs, just like now. What made the joke really funny by the end of the night is about 10 minutes into my sermon that was supposed to be about 20 minutes, I lost my place in my notes. I began sweating profusely. My mouth got really dry. I started repeating myself. I started studying, and I started to panic, so I just prayed and closed out the sermon right in the middle. I was so embarrassed. It was horrible. It was terrible. That sermon wasn't worth a nickel. But what I learned from that experience, I consider it invaluable. Because I learned from that experience that it is easy to forget when you are not focused, and it's hard to forget when you are. And after that experience, I promised myself that I would never feel that way again. And more importantly, I promised God that next time I received an opportunity to preach his word to his people, I would take it seriously, I would come planned, I would come prepared, and I would come focused. In the past week or so, I came across this YouTube video. I didn't look it up. It was just next, like up next on YouTube. You know how YouTube does its thing. And for whatever reason, I just kept watching the video, and it was some middle-aged man who claimed to have multiple black belts in mixed martial arts. Who knows if he was telling the truth or not. He was trying to sell some subscription to some type of self-defense course, and I wasn't looking to buy his course or anything, but part of what he's saying I found very interesting. He claimed to be a very experienced and decorated fighter, and he explained how he has been in hundreds, if not thousands, of exhibition matches and planned, organized fights. And he said he had also been in a few street fights. And he said when he had been in street fights, street brawls that were unexpected and spur of the moment, half the training that he had gone through went out the window. Half of the moves that he had practiced throughout the years just left his mind. He said, the only moves that I remember to use in those stressful and high-intensity situations are the moves that I practice the most. The moves that at that point were second nature to me. So ingrained in my brain and so a part of my muscle memory. And I was just thinking this week, this is how we need to be with the commands and the teaching of God. That we are so focused on what God commands us to do that when frustration comes our way, we're not stressed, we're not perplexed, but the commands and teachings of God are so a part of who we are, they are so ingrained in our spirit, and they're so a part of our muscle memory, we know exactly what to do. As someone that walks with wisdom, reading your Bible, coming to church, praying to God, being a part of Christian, helpful, and healthy community should not be your last resort. It should be your first option. Because a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. In order to walk with wisdom, you need a focused faith. A faith that remembers all that God has done for you in your past, and a faith that does not easily forget all the promises God has made about your future. A faith that is convinced of the fact that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, my God, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You guide me beside still waters, and you lay me down in green pastures. A faith that rejoices because whether rain or shine, today is a day that the Lord has made. A faith that can look through the crap of your circumstance into the goodness of your God. A faith that keeps God's commands on your heart at all times, no matter the drama, no matter the debt, no matter the diagnosis, no matter what you may be going through. A faith that is focused on the fact that through the good and the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, the troubles, the triumphs, the prosperous and the problematic times of life, God still has a plan that works out for my good and for his glory. Walking with wisdom is not necessarily knowing where you are going. Walking with wisdom is knowing that the one you are walking with will get you where you need to be. Scripture says, walk by faith, not by sight. This is why walking with wisdom requires trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to God, and he will make your paths straight. I refuse to be that preacher that placates trust. I refuse to be that preacher that pretends that trusting God is the easiest thing ever. It's not. Trust is difficult. Trust is hard. Trust can be really scary. I know it can be. Because trust, it's an all or nothing concept, right? You cannot experience the rewards, the benefits, the positive effects of trust without relinquishing all or any control that you might have. Trust, it takes the outcome out of our hands and makes us vulnerable to the results of the decisions and actions of the one we put our trust in and give our control to. And I think the reason why many people choose not to trust God is because they fear the unknown. They fear what might happen. They fear what could happen. That they fear that if they put their trust in God, God's not going to do what he said he was going to do. They fear that God won't come through for them this time. That they fear that God won't keep his promises. Trust is difficult. Trust is scary. But think about it this way. Say you choose not to put your trust in God. Your only other option is then to put your trust in yourself, to lean on your own understanding. In other words, to say, I'm a bet on me. And I don't know about anyone else listening, but this option terrifies me. This option scares me to my core because I am well aware that I am not all knowing. I'm not all powerful. I'm not almighty. I'm not the King of Kings. I don't know better than the Lord of Lords, and I cannot solve problems like the Prince of Peace. I wish I could. Trusting God becomes so much easier for me when I remind myself of how stupid I am, how many decisions that I've made that have gone poorly, and how desperately I need God's help. Yes, trust is frightening. Yes, trust is scary. Yes, trust can be terrifying. But when you put your trust in God, trust is freeing. Trust is liberating. Trust is emancipating, because when you put your trust in God, trust is not just a transfer of power. Trust also becomes a transfer of pressure. All the pressure, all the weight, all the stress that was once on your shoulders to know what to do, that was once on your shoulders to know what to say, that was once on your shoulders to have the perfect plan, that was once on your shoulders to know how to handle that stressful, that scary, that problematic situation in your life, is taken from you and is given to God. And trusting God, it's not like trusting other people. God isn't keeping any hidden intentions away from you. God doesn't have any secret plans to stab you in the back. God has no plan to leave you out to dry. Scripture says that God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. God will never fail you. He has your best interests at heart. But please don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that if you choose to put your trust in God, life is going to be perfect, problem, and stress-free. I'm not saying that if you choose to put your trust in God, life will be sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. You will still have problems. You will still face troubles. Life will still be frustrating. God making your path straight does not mean that God will make your path easy. God making your path straight means that as you focus on God, follow his commands, and trust in him, he will give you the clarity and the understanding that you need to walk through your worry, navigate your fears, and eventually conquer your circumstance. Walking with worry provides a peace and a confidence that surpasses all understanding. And just so you understand what you might be signing up for, you need to know that walking with wisdom looks weird. Walking with wisdom looks weird. It looks strange, unordinary. By this I mean, if you walk with wisdom every day of your life, if you focus on God's commands, if you put your trust in God, your friends are not gonna get you. Because when they see all the hell, all the stress, and all the problems that you're walking through, and you're not losing your mind, they're really gonna think you lost your mind. They're going to talk to you like the prophet Job's friends talked to him. Your friends, they're going to see that in 2020, you lost your mom to COVID. You lost your job during the pandemic. You're up to your neck in stress and your kids are rebelling against you. And you're still expecting. You're still excited. You're still ready for 2021. Your friends are going to say to you, how are you expectant for this next year? You shouldn't be expectant. Your life is over. You might as well just roll over and die. Why are you worshiping God? You should be cursing God. I promise you, they're not going to get it. I promise you they're going to think you're strange. I promise you they're going to think you're crazy. I promise you they're going to think you're weird. Not to get off point, but do you know who I find weird? You know who I think is strange? You know who I think is crazy? Long distance runners. Like marathon, cross country, long distance runners. I don't understand them. Do I have any long distance runners in the room? One over there, see? There's a reason why the rest of us aren't like that person. I'm just playing a little bit. I just don't understand why someone would willingly put themselves through such pain, torment, and torture for fun. I just don't get it. But what I will say is that I am fascinated and I am inspired by the tenacity and the ability that runners have to remain when a run gets rough. In fact, in preparation for this sermon, I wanted to get into the mind of a long-distance runner. And as I was doing research, I came across this term called a pain cave. A pain cave. It has a nice ring to it, a pain cave. A pain cave is that point in a race that even the most experienced runners experience at least once in their running careers, where even though they train for weeks, if not months ahead of time before a long-distance race, even though they diet, even though they eat so healthy, even though they're in such great cardiovascular condition, at some point in their running career, they will face a pain cave where their body just says, enough is enough. I'm done. I quit. I don't want to run anymore. That's about me about a quarter mile into a mile back when I was in middle school. The pain cave is that point in a race where it's struggle versus spirit. It's worry versus will. It's mind versus matter. And I just want to know, how do runners persevere through the pain caves? How do they push through the pain caves? How do they get over the pain caves? And I came across by this quote from a runner and a journalist by the name of Kim Cowart. And she explains how she pushes through the pain cave. She said that she reminds herself, nothing, not even pain, lasts forever. If I can just keep putting one foot in front of the other, I know I will eventually get to the end. I will eventually get to the end. I think that's a word for somebody. I will eventually get to the end. Walking with wisdom looks like keeping the end in mind. Walking with wisdom looks like keeping your eyes fixed on the finish line. Walking with wisdom looks like reminding yourself that through the pain caves of life, I will eventually get to the end. That if I just keep putting one foot in front of the other, I will eventually get to the end. If I just stay motivated, if I just stay encouraged, if I just stay inspired, if I just stay committed, if I just stick with it long enough, I will eventually get to the end. If I just keep pressing toward the mark that Christ has placed before me, I will eventually get to the end. If I just refuse to quit, if I just refuse to give up, if I just keep on persevering, if I don't quit till I reach my goals, if I don't quit till I reach the finish line, if I don't quit till the job gets done, I will eventually reach the end. Don't you stop till you raise those kids. Don't you stop till you pay off that debt. Don't you stop till you start that business. Don't you stop till you get that degree. Don't you stop till you shake off that addiction. Don't you stop till you tell everyone you know about Jesus Christ. You will eventually get to the end. Walking with wisdom will give purpose to your pain. Walking with wisdom
wisdom will give meaning to your waits. Walking with wisdom will give you the boldness to brave any storm. Walking with wisdom will give you the encouragement you need to endure. Walking with wisdom will give you the faith you need to fight off the frustration that's tempting you to quit. Walking with wisdom will give you the strength you need to stand in the midst of suffering. Walking with wisdom will help you do every obstacle as an opportunity to remain obedient to God. Walking with wisdom, it will help you view every L you took in 2020 as a lesson you can learn from in 2021. Walking with wisdom gives you the perspective to persevere through the problematic and the pain caves of your life. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Stay focused, because you will eventually get to the end. You will eventually get to the end. I'm here to tell you that you will eventually get to the end, but you need a focus that is greater than your frustration. You need a trust that is greater than your trouble. You cannot walk with worry. You must walk with wisdom. Don't walk by sight. Walk by faith. Walk with the confidence and the boldness of knowing that with Jesus Christ by my side, I will eventually get to the end. You will. You can do it. Focus on God. Follow His commands and trust in Him. You will eventually get to the end. Dear God, we praise you. Dear God, we thank you. God, we're going to show you how much we love you this year, because we're going to trust you with everything that we have. We're going to focus on your commands. We're going to trust in you. We're going to obey your teaching, because we know that with you, we will eventually get to the end. With a shout of praise, we all say together, amen, amen, and amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.